This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. I'm really excited about this this topic that we're going to be discussing today. So Pastor Corinne's going to help me out tonight, and so excited to have her with me. And happy late Mother's Day for those that didn't catch the broadcast on Sunday. But we're going to be coming out of Mark 14, 3 through 9. Mark 14, 3 through 9, if you want to pull it up in your Bibles right now. And we're going to do a little bit of questions and answers at the end, so you can go ahead and get your questions ready. It's going to be just an amazing time. We enjoyed so much doing question and answer last week, and so we're going to just continue a little bit of that. Any questions off of the text or other questions that might be somehow related, we want to dive into that. So let's pray over this. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word would come alive in us tonight. Lord, let us grab a hold of something, Father, that we can apply immediately to our lives. Not just something that's theoretical, not just something that's a high and lofty concept, but God, something that we can apply that will cause us to bear more fruit in our lives, cause us to be more like you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Amen. Well, let me read this passage for you. Mark 14, 3, it says, "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany, at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke it open and poured out the perfume over his head. And some of those at the table were indignant. 'Why waste such an expensive perfume?' they asked. 'It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor.' So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, 'Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed.'" Wow. There's so much here, and I was just kind of meditating on this scripture this week, and we see that Jesus is in Bethany, which I just started to take a look at Bethany. Bethany is, it means house of affliction or house of poverty. And you know, those are two things that we've been going after spiritually this year. Just knowing that God wants his people to prosper. He wants his people to be in good health as their soul prospers. So not just that they're coming out of church and they're emotionally at a good place, but that they're also prospering in their health. Their health is prospering. Their finances are prospering. But this place, Bethany actually means, the original meaning is house of affliction or house of poverty. And this was a man, Jesus is sitting at the table with a man at the home of a man that he previously had leprosy. Let me tell you something. When God gets a hold of your circumstance, God is going to change it all around. If we will just surrender our circumstance, if we will just surrender whatever we've labeled is stuff in our life, whatever we've labeled our circumstances, even things that we've already thought, it's this way, there's nothing that I can do about it, there's nothing I can change about it. Let God get involved. Let Jesus come to your Bethany. Let Jesus come to your house of affliction. Let Jesus come to your house of poverty, because this man, Simon, he may have been afflicted before, but where he was that day, he was healed in his body. And he was prosperous enough to throw a banquet for Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus will transform your Bethany. Jesus will transform your circumstances from affliction and poverty to health and healing and abundance. God wants you to have and experience a life of overflow. Not just be where you were before. God doesn't want to leave you where you were before. Jesus doesn't want to leave you in Bethany. He wants to take you somewhere special.
I agree. Ooh, that's powerful. And then just thinking about the fact that this man's testimony opened the door for this woman to come through. That just reminds me of the scripture. We'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So he's there, and he is this living testimony of Jesus working on him. And then this, it provided an opportunity for this woman to come through and have this encounter with Jesus. And I think it's so interesting tying the two together, how you're saying how Bethany means house of affliction. You know, how many times do sometimes we not know somebody's story or know what they have gone through and come to a conclusion not knowing what their background story is and falling into judgment, you know, because we're just following conclusions or thoughts, you know? And I think about this woman who came and she was ready to pour out everything for Jesus.
Yeah.
And here these people were judging her, like, who are you? Why are you here?
Yeah. Before we even get to the woman, I just want to say about Simon, you know, they said he was the man that was a leper. Mm. God wants to turn whatever's going on in your life right now. He wants to turn your test into a testimony.
Amen.
It doesn't say Simon the leper. It said Simon who was a leper.
Yes.
Saying that he has been healed. His testimony in his very name. Hey, there's the guy, Simon, the one that got healed from leprosy. God wants to take your affliction and turn it into a testimony.
That's
God
right.
wants to turn your poverty into a testimony. If you'll just trust him, if you'll just surrender to him, God can do some amazing things. And this woman here, I love it. This woman comes in. She sees some things that have happened in her life and in Simon's life, and she realizes there is this powerful kingdom exchange that can happen.
Right.
I can get involved in an exchange with Jesus. I can give him something natural, and he's going to give me something supernatural in return. The Bible says he gives beauty
for ashes.
He gives joy instead of mourning. He gives a garment of praise in the place of a spirit of heaviness. So God is all about making exchanges, but she sees that she can make an exchange with Jesus right here at Bethany. So she sees the exchange that Simon has made and is still making. Simon had such an amazing encounter and experience with Jesus the first time getting healed of leprosy. He said, you know what? Let me continue to have relationship with Jesus. Let me continue to give and pour into him and see what comes back into my life. There's an exchange that happens. So she comes in and she brings with her a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume. I hope you get a hold of this. She brings something beautiful and expensive. Beautiful and expensive.
It cost her something.
It cost her something. It cost her something. So she brings in something. When I think of beauty in this context, we think about something that's pleasing.
Yes.
And, you know, if we go back into the Old Testament, it talks about when we give an offering, give the lamb that is without spot, without blemish.
Yeah.
Give the best lamb you have. And so she comes with something that's beautiful. It's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to Jesus. Jesus sees it and he's like, you guys be quiet, because what she's doing is beautiful right now. It's beautiful. It's pleasing, but it's also expensive. It's something that is costly. It cost her something. There is a level of love and faith here because it cost her something. And
yes.
So she's not afraid to do this. She goes in here and she gives of this beautiful but costly thing. And here's the next part. It says she breaks open the jar and she pours it out. She breaks open the jar and she pours it out. Now, I hope that we get this, because once she broke the jar, it was never going back to the way it was. Once she broke the jar, she couldn't go back to the old way. She couldn't go back to the way it was. And you see, when we allow God to break us, you know, whatever it is, whether it's stubbornness or whether it's the old way of thinking or whether it's the old way of doing things, when we allow God to break us, we can never really go back to the way that we were again. She breaks this jar. She makes a leap of faith because she can't undo it. And I think there's moments that God gives us that we have to make a leap of faith. We have to break the jar or allow God to break us so that we can be used. Because once we're broken, God can put us back together and arrange us in a way that's even more purposeful. You know, we have purposes and plans for our lives and we have thoughts for our lives. But when we allow God to break us, when we allow God to break us, he can use us in such a profoundly more beautiful expression because now we're getting back up on the potter's wheel. Now God is putting us back together. Now God is piecing the parts of our lives together because we surrendered and we say, God, if there's some stubborn areas of my life, if there's some wrong thinking in my life, God, I give you permission to break those areas and put me back together again. And then she pours it out. She's broken it and she pours it out. Now, let me just say something. If you ever want to reach maximum capacity in God, pour yourself all the way out. Don't pour just a little bit because you see, if you only pour a little bit, you only get a little bit of God's presence to fill you back up. But if I pour myself out completely, I am now at maximum capacity. God can fill me up with fresh oil. God can fill me up to the maximum amount. So right now in this moment, I can be at maximum capacity where I'm at right now. Unless God breaks my vessel and makes my vessel bigger, then I can have a higher capacity. But if I just take what God has given me and I take what's in my hands right now and I pour it out, all of it, see, that's the problem. Sometimes we just pour a little bit out. We just, God, I'm just going to give you what's comfortable. And so we pour a little bit out and we have some to spare. And that's why we only get a little bit of what we could have. Or we only get half of what we could have. Or we only get a quarter of what we could have. But when we pour ourselves completely out, like this story, like this woman, it says, that she's at maximum capacity. She is completely surrendered to the will and the purpose and the future that God has for her.
There's two things that I really saw in this. And one of them is that talking about her giving something so expensive and then being indignant about it and judging her like, this is foolish. Why would you give this? But then when we look at the woman who gave two mites, you know, later on, like it's so interesting. It's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. Yeah. It's the heart behind what is being given. And this woman, just like the other woman gave all that she had, this is what was precious to this woman. And she gave it completely. And I think, you know, we have to search our hearts when we give to God, whatever it be, whether it be our worship, whether it be our gifts, whether it be, you know, our livelihood, like everything that we do, you know, we do it for him. When we give financially, whatever it is, are we giving our best? Are we giving our all? But the second thing that really stood out to me was, you know, we've heard that in some, you know, ways that we've heard it about being poured on his feet. But I thought it was very significant in this one, how it says, broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Mm-hmm. You know, the head is a very special part of a person. It signifies like the authority. It signifies leadership, headship. And so it's almost like she was ministering to him, you know?
Yes, she was.
And I think like it's so powerful when we can get to the place where we're not coming to God saying, give me this, but more of, I want to minister to you. I want to pour out, like what we're pouring out is fragrant before him, and not just in a pulling manner, but it's giving to him. I mean, I think that's just so powerful and beautiful when you see somebody's worship that is that level, where it's just completely for God. You know, because I think a lot of times that people can get very, there's a time and place for everything. You know, it's not, I'm not condemning needing, but I think there's also a time to be very like, oh my goodness, God is so awesome. He's so sovereign. And I've come here to just pour out my praise on you, I pour out my worship, I pour out my heart because I recognize how awesome that God is. So I think that's just, that just stood out to me.
I think whenever we give to the Lord, whether it's monetary or whether it's of our gift, of our time, you know, we have to ask, is this something beautiful and is this something costly to me? I think if we ask that, if we come with that type of mentality and approach, what we're going to get back from God is so much more profound, because I find not just monetarily, there's a lot of different areas that we give God what's comfortable. We give God what's comfortable sometimes in worship. You know, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship in a way that's comfortable to me. You know, are we going to, we sang the song tonight, Your Love is Extravagant. You know, what happens when our love begins to reflect His love and it's extravagant? You know, what happened, you know, this woman's gift was extravagant. You know, it was worth a year's wages. It was worth 300 days salary. And so it was an extravagant gift. It was beautiful and it was costly. So when we come before the Lord, we should ask, is this gift something that's beautiful and costly? Right. Because we know we can't outgive God. We cannot outgive God. And I want us to look at this in the broadest sense. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about our lives. Right. I'm talking about the way we live before God. When we give ourselves, you know, money is just one small part, a small part of who we are. You know, when we give ourselves to God, are we giving the most beautiful part, the most costly part of ourselves? Because if we are making that type of exchange with Him, let me tell you something. I believe what we're going to see in our life is profound. It is just simply profound, because when you give a gift like that, Jesus says this about this woman's gift. He says, everywhere the gospel is preached, they're going to tell this woman's story. This is a spiritual principle. It's a kingdom principle that will be talked about everywhere the gospel is preached. And so everywhere, far and wide, all around the world, it says that the gospel is going to be preached. And this is true, because I've gone a lot of places, and I hear this story so much. I hear this principle so much that we're talking about tonight. And that is this concept. If you give something beautiful and something costly, what you get back from God will be more than you can ask or think. So I could stay right here.
There's
tonight.
So much There's in this story.
So much to say. I just see my sister doing the alabaster box
yes,
dance.
Yes, me
right
too.
Now.
John, don't but, hold out.
we're gonna flip and go into question and answer and get everybody involved a little bit. So if you got a question on this, or you got a question that's related to this, or not related, we'll jump into that as best we can. You can ask your questions, and we'll knock some of that stuff out.
While you're getting your questions ready, I just want to kind of close out a point that I was thinking about. Man, I love that she was not deterred by them saying anything. You know, she wasn't concerned. There's no record of her saying anything back. It's just basically she was there to do what she was there to do. And I think we have to be that way, you know, so much so that we're not focused on what someone else's opinion is. We're not focused on what somebody else might think about us. And the beautiful thing is you see Jesus defend her. He steps up
yes.
and defends her. And I just love that we serve a God who He will defend us. He'll shut the mouth of the accuser like that, you know.
I think we have to always know there's always going to be a peanut gallery. There's always going to be somebody criticizing. And I think there was criticism in the room for people that were well-intending and also some people that were just had the wrong intentions completely. Like Judas was a part of the criticism crowd. But there's also some probably some of the disciples that good guys.
Yes.
Solid followers of Jesus, but they just had the wrong perspective. Sometimes people aren't going to understand the way that you're living your life or the level of giving of yourself that God has asked of you or what you've decided in your heart. Sometimes there might be people around you that it says they scolded her harshly, Now, you could probably update that and figure out what that means in our vernacular today, but they weren't nice words, all right? And so sometimes there's going to be people around you that don't understand how you're giving to the Lord. There's going to be some people not understanding your lifestyle before the Lord, and that's okay. The Lord will defend you. Jesus yes. himself said, don't mess with her, don't touch her, stop scolding her, because I'm using her. And yes. so that's powerful.
We have our first question. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
How can we help others realize the importance of this principle?
Amen. I just think the big thing that comes to my mind is you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink.
yes.
In life, and even as a pastor, I've seen this over and over again. You can put the principle out there. You can put the word of God out there, but it has to be the person's decision to say, you know what? I want to take this as my own. I want to take this to heart. I want to take this revelation as my own. So the best that we can do is in kindness sow seeds. In kindness have conversations, open conversations where we share the truth in love and then allow the Holy Spirit to work on them. I'm not responsible for other people changing or not. That would be manipulation. It's not my job to change people. It's my job to speak the truth in love. And as I speak the truth in love, the Holy Spirit, his part now is to move upon that person's heart, to touch that person's heart, to come to them in the quiet moments while they're reflecting and bring that truth back up to them. But you're in my decision. Our responsibility is to plant the seeds, is to say, hey, listen, you know, this is a principle in the Word of God, you know, A, B, and C. And whatever the principle is that needs to be shared, to share it in kindness, share it in love, share it with gentleness, and let the Holy Spirit pick up from there.
Yeah,
great question.
It is a great question. And I think one of the rules that I personally live by is not being forceful with people. I know sometimes you can feel real passionate about something and want to get the point across. And I've had those moments. But I think remembering that God is not forceful. You know, Jesus, he spoke truth. And that's what shed light, you know, all around him. And people were like, whoa, they'd get their minds blown. And then some of them were stubborn and wouldn't listen. And others, they would have their lives changed as a result. But I think you're absolutely right. You can't force people to do it. You just got to be a living example and share the truth and love and use kindness as a filter. And you'll see the Holy Spirit do the work in their lives. Okay, there's another question. How would you encourage the youth to live this way?
How would you encourage the youth to live this way? I think you have to speak the language of whomever you're speaking to. You know, the way that I speak to one person is not the same way that I would speak to another person. It's not because I'm favoring one person over another person. It's because we speak different languages. Different generations speak different languages, and even different nationalities. Sometimes there's different nuances. And so, you know, what I love about Paul is he said, I've become all things to all people so that I might win some. And so if I'm talking to somebody that is in high school, I speak one way. If I'm talking to somebody that's in college, I speak to another way. If I speak to a young family, I'm speaking another way. I'm always judging the person. I'm judging how I should speak by what the background that I perceive the person is coming from, you know. And I believe there's nobody that was better at this than Jesus. And we see somebody that followed in his footsteps really well was Paul, because his sermons would vary depending on who he was talking to. Was he talking to Jews? Was he talking to Gentiles? Was he talking to Jews that had been converted to Christianity? He presented the truth in love, but he presented it in a different way. So I would say you know, find out, I always find out what's important to the person. You know, before I start telling somebody what I want to say, first I want to know where they are. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the best conversations start with questions. Yes. You know, asking somebody where they're at in their faith walk, asking somebody what's important to them and what issues and challenges are they having, and then show how this principle can add value to their life, how this principle can add, help them be successful or fruitful in their spiritual walk or in life in general. Because the truth of the matter is, we can take principles from the Word of God and they actually bear fruit, not just in our spiritual life, but in life in general. I find people are most receptive when we find out what they're going through and how this principle can add value to where they're at right now. And I think that's the best way to present a principle, whether young or old.
A real practical way is before, when sometimes opportunities are presented where you know it's totally the Holy Spirit setting it up, and it's almost like you're ready for the slam dunk, you know? And then there's other moments where it's basically like you've been given the gift set to lead that person, and you have to lead them into it. But the best way to lead is with love. So you ask them, is there anything I can pray with you about? What are you going through? Like, what's going on? And a lot of times that leads you right into the ministry mode. So I think really seeing, where, just like you were saying, we're seeing where people are at, seeing where that youth is at. Because I think not just with this generation, with any generation, when you are a young person, you want to know people care about you. Because every generation, the generation before, it has always looked down on them like, these guys don't know what they're, you know, what they're coming up into.
Music is terrible.
You know, we've all experienced it in our own generations, you know, but I think leading with love, not letting them feel like, you know, you're three steps behind us and you don't know what you're doing. Like, let them know that you care and start there.
Mm-hmm. You know, like if you were presenting this to like kids, you would say, you know, you would liken it to, you know, their birthday or Christmas. You know, what type of gift would you like for your birthday or Christmas? Now, you know, what do you think we should do for Jesus, or what do you think we should do for his birthday or for Christmas? You know, and we start likening to giving a gift. Well, just like we receive gifts and we give gifts at Christmas time and birthday times, we give gifts to the Lord, you know, and that's a special part of our relationship with him, and that's a part of our worship. And so you start to relate it. You know, one of the great things that Jesus did is he would take a spiritual principle and liken it to a natural event. He said the kingdom of God is like a farmer, you know. The kingdom of God is like sowing a seed, you know. So he's always taking a spiritual a principle that they would not otherwise be able to understand and relating it to something natural. And now, oh, I get it. So,
all right. I don't see any more questions. Y'all ran out of questions
tonight. All right. We will catch up on that. We'll pick up on that next week. But we had a couple good questions. Let me just say, if you'd like to give tonight, you can give via text 77977, or you can give via the website hopeunited.church.
Yes.
We've already talked about all night about giving, so I'm not gonna go back into that. But let me pray and let me bless you as you're giving. God, I thank you, Lord, that you'd bless, God, each and every person that's listening to this broadcast right now, all of our Hope family, all of our friends, God, friends of friends, those that stumble upon this broadcast, God, bless their life, God. Let the truth of what was spoken tonight and the spirit in the worship, God, be something that touches their heart in a special way and causes them to have a deeper relationship with you, God. We thank you, Lord. If there's anything that was said, God, that was out of place, Lord, let it fall to the ground. Yes. And God, let everything that's truly from you and genuinely from your word, God, let us take it to heart. Let us hide it in our heart and let us live our life by it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, God bless you. We love you. We love you, family.
Love you guys.
At Hope United, we are
one family in faith. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.